Welcome to another edition of the Long and Whiny Show. Finally, this week we're getting into the actual reason for this podcast. So this week we're doing McCartney, which is the first Paul McCartney solo album released in the States on April 20th, 1970. You got any introductory remarks, Mick?
I'm not very familiar with this album. I know my brothers had it, so I saw the cover a lot when I was growing up. But I believe the first time I actually heard it from beginning to end was about an hour ago.
Okay. So it's fresh in your mind. What did you think? Objectively, I guess you.
I've heard bits and pieces of it, and I've heard some of the songs, but not the original versions, the ones off this album. So I was not really looking forward to playing this album because I already knew that it was a bunch of home demos, and I usually don't like that. And I didn't really care for this album at first, but then I listened to some of the tracks over again just to familiarize myself with the different instrumentals because they all kind of sound the same.
Yes.
And since we're going to go track by track, I wanted to make sure I could remember which instrumental we were talking about. And the album's kind of grown on me just in the couple hours I spent listening to it this morning. So wow. I kind of like it more than when I started, and I bet I might like it more the more I listen to it.
So you would, after listening to it a couple times, you think this is a album that could be in a rotation for you, or is it more of a novelty at this point?
Yeah, I don't think I call it a novelty, but no, I don't think I'm going to be listening to the album that often. Some of the songs on it are really good, though. Obviously, we already know there are a couple hits off this album, and I guess there's one hit off this album, and maybe four really good songs.
Yeah.
And then a couple good ideas, and then some throwaway crap.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it. So, just before we go through the whole album, would you recommend this as someone coming into Paul McCartney's discography? Would you recommend starting with this? It's the first album, but would you?
Yeah. Well, I'm such a nerd that I'd recommend it as the first album just because it's the first album. But for someone that's just picking and choosing, no, I don't think I would recommend this one. I'd suggest a couple songs to listen to off it, but I would not recommend listening to the whole thing.
All right. Well,
I was reading a quote from George where he was criticizing the album when it came out, and I kind of agree with him. That the album's disappointing. You think that Paul McCartney's going to come out with a solo album, and it's like, here's stuff that's just so good I needed to get it out there. And it turns out to be just some crap that he swept off his tool bench.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Do you want to get into a little bit of the background, the recording of this, from our what we know from reading the Man on the Run book?
You could do that. I'm not all that familiar with it.
Well, what we read in the book, he's thinking that he's basically, when the album came out with the Q&A that accompanied it, he basically says the Beatles broke up, but then he retracted that a couple days later because it blew up all over the world. Of course, that upset John because he wanted to be the guy to officially break up the band. And then they're going through a lot of litigation because Paul is basically suing the remaining three other Beatles to break their partnership up because he's not happy with their new financial manager, Alan Klein. So they're tied up in court for quite a while trying to dissolve the Beatles partnership. And this album kind of comes out in the beginning of that era. And like you said, it's full of, home demos and their incompleted songs. And I guess from looking at it from one part, it's McCartney's playing almost every instrument on the album. So I want to give him a thumbs up for that. I mean, that in itself is cool. And there are some good songs, but on a whole, like you said, it's not really earth-shattering. From coming from a former Beatle, and this being his first album. But he follows this up with another with a great album. So next week we're going to talk about the second album, which is Ram, which is fantastic. So let's get into it. 43 seconds. That Lovely Linda. What did you think?
I was skeptical when I saw that was the first track, because I'm thinking, oh god, it's gonna be a song just about his wife, and he seems to be the only one who's that enraptured by his wife. There have been a lot of complaints about that's the woman he married,
right?
And but it's nice that it's short. I guess it was supposed to be. Paul described it as a trailer for the full song that he would record in the future, but this is a quote from the 1970, but he never did record the full version. And he said, here's a quote from 2001, I was always going to finish it, and I had another bit that went into a Spanish song, Almost Mariachi, but it just appeared as a fragment and was quite nice for that reason. But we'll never hear that because he never recorded the whole thing. I was struck that the beginning of the song reminds me a lot of the Bob Dylan song from The Big Lebowski. It's called The Man in Me. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I am not.
And I don't know when Bob Dylan wrote The Man in Me, so I don't know if they might have copied off each other or if it's just a coincidence.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I might have to look that song up. Yeah, what I wrote down was this is a cute song, not much to it. It has a folky sound. And, he's very enamored with Linda, and we all know that. And basically he credits her for, pretty much picking him up out of the deep depression he was in.
Yeah.
Following the Beatles breakup. You know, it sounds like he was drinking heavily. Smoking a lot of pot, didn't want to get out of bed in the morning. He pretty much grew out his beard. He looked like Grizzly Adams. And, she was very helpful in getting him out of his funk, so to speak. So when you listen to 43 seconds of this song, I mean, I kind of think about that when I'm listening to it. But not much to it. And we get in next to That Would Be Something. And I wrote down a good bass line. He's doing his I Got a Feeling voice on this one, which is cool. The drums and percussion are cool. And, the ending fade out is nice too. But once again, there's just not much to this song. What did you think?
I first heard this song off the Unplugged album, the official bootleg Unplugged album. Mm-hmm. And that version seems a bit more polished. I guess that was the first time he's ever played that song live, according to what I read. So that's cool. Yeah, it's kind of weird, as there's only 20 years in between the writing of the song and the performing of the song. This song's good, especially in comparison with some of the other stuff that's on the album, but I don't like the start-stop feel to it.
Yeah. I hear ya.
I just keep wishing the song would just go, just instead of it's like being with somebody who's learning how to drive a manual stick shift. You're like you're bucking back and forth. You just want to come on, step on the gas, and let's get going. But no, it's like he says a line then stops, says a line and stops.
Yeah, I kind of like that though. I guess. I mean, I think this is a cool sounding song. But it is interesting that he hadn't played it ever until, like you just said, Unplugged. I mean, that's quite a feat there.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised at that. But I read it off a Beatles website, so I think they'd know.
Valentine's Day. This is an instrumental. It's got that cool rocking guitar to it. Basically, it's just Paul screwing around. And I don't know. It's a good sounding song. That's about all I got. You're into instrumentals. Tell me what you think.
Well, the instrumentals I like are usually more than just guitar and drums.
True.
It's not bad. He admits that that he basically recorded this just to test his audio equipment that were installed in his house. And with all these instrumentals, he would start with a drum track and then just keep adding stuff to it, layer upon layer. And tell you the truth, even though I deliberately listened to the song a couple times so I'd be able to tell apart from the other instrumentals, I don't even remember what it sounds like.
Me neither.
I even have it up on Spotify. I brought it up on Spotify so I could listen to it off my phone without interfering with the recording. I mean, using the computer.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, here we go. I do like that guitar.
There.
Yeah. Not very memorable, though, right?
Not really.
Every Night. Now, this is actually, I think, this is a fully formed song.
About time.
And this could have been a Beatles song. I mean, it's got that feel to it. It's a good acoustic song, and I like the, ooh, you know, anytime Paul does that, that's cool. The lyrics are pretty good, and we now know the backstory is that he's pretty much in a deep depression when he wrote this, and he's, you know, every night he wants to go out and get hammered pretty much. You know, it's just it's a very personal song wrapped up in a pop feel, you know, catchy tune, and it's got something behind it. I think it's a good song. It's a classic. And I like it a lot.
Yeah, this is a great song. And it could have been a Beatles song because he auditioned it during the Get Back sessions. But the Beatles voted it down for some reason.
So this would have been credited to Lennon and McCartney then?
Yes, if they'd recorded it, then yeah.
That's interesting.
And yeah. I'm also, this is another one where I'm more familiar with the Unplugged version, the version that's off the Unplugged album.
Yeah, me too.
And I was going to say that I really like the Unplugged version better, but this version's not that bad.
No, it's not.
It's really good. And it's about, like I said, it's about time we got to a real honest song.
He plays this on tour all the time. I mean, it's a good song. I mean, it's definitely a classic McCartney song.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is good. This is definitely one to recommend.
Absolutely. Hot as Sun / Glasses. Another little ditty of an instrumental. I'm sure John hated this.
No, actually.
He didn't? Wow.
No, this is a very early Quarrymen song.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is a Lennon and McCartney song then?
Well, yeah. I guess technically, but it's a McCartney song. It's a McCartney instrumental that they would jam on during their club days.
Well, that's something I didn't know. That's cool. I like it more now. it's got a cool sound to it. The ending is a little weird. I wrote something down here.
It's got two endings, actually.
Yeah.
It breaks into the glasses part, which I guess is him playing wine glasses.
Oh, is that what that is?
I assume so. It's got that kind of sound to it, you know, where you wet the rim of a wine glass and rub your finger on it and get a tone from it.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's what it is. I would assume just from the title. And then it goes into a 9-second clip of a song called Suicide, a piano demo that Paul wrote for Frank Sinatra. And the full version of Suicide is included in the special edition of the album, the re-release. And the song is horrible. And Paul, I've heard Paul express disappointment that Frank Sinatra never recorded it or didn't even get back to him about the song. But when you listen to it, it's like, why would he think that Frank Sinatra would want to record it? It's terrible.
So it's got words, it's got lyrics.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's a full song. It's like he's making it up as he plays it.
Probably is.
And the worst thing is, he plays it, he does the song over and over and over again just to stretch out time. And as he's going, he starts making fun of it and singing it funny. And it's like, he doesn't even like the song. Why would he think Sinatra would like it?
Yeah.
Just because it, you know, the return address was Paul McCartney on it?
Well, I mean, Sinatra didn't even know who he was, because he always credits, when he used to do something in concert, Sinatra, he used to always say, this is the best Lennon-McCartney song ever. And then he'd go into something, and it's not even a Lennon-McCartney song, obviously. It's a George Harrison song.
Yeah.
So Sinatra's not very familiar with the works of Paul McCartney or John Lennon. And you're right, the song sounds terrible. I hate to say that, but I'm going to still check it out later, though. So we'll recommend that people go check that out this week.
Nah, I don't recommend it. They can do it if they want to. Don't blame it on me. I'm not recommending a thing.
On to junk. I got a lot of good things to say about this. This song is so, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful song. It's melancholy. It's just got, I love the lyrics. You know, he's kind of waxing poetic. You know, I love that. It's only a minute and 54 seconds, but it's just got a lot of, it's got a lot of punch to it. And I just think it's a really great, you know, it's just a beautiful song. And it, this song pops up in so many movies, you know, over the last 40 years. But the one that sticks in my mind is it just shows up out of the blue in Jerry Maguire. Mm. And, you know, that's cool that Cameron, what the heck is his name? Cameron Crowe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously we know Cameron Crowe is a McCartney fan because McCartney recorded Vanilla Sky for the movie Vanilla Sky. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was cool that he used that this song in it, and it's actually, it's not the sing-along junk, it's actually the lyrics. I believe it is. Don't quote me on that. I thought it was this version of junk that they play in the movie. But this is just a fantastic song. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I like it too. I really like it. I was going to say something about the version with lyrics versus the version with instrumental, or versus the instrumental, but I don't know. I don't want to take a stand, so they're, I don't know which good. One's better.
They're both good. I'd recommend this song. I think this is one of the songs on here that is worth definitely checking out.
Yeah, this is great, even though it's so short. And it's also on the Unplugged album. And it's on Anthology 3, but I don't remember if the Anthology 3 version is that much different.
So this also could have been a Beatles song.
Yep.
And Man, We Was Lonely. It's another... it's got an... you know, it starts with a acoustic, and then I think Linda's doing backup vocals. Might be...
this is their first time recording together, right there.
And I like the line, I used to ride in my fast life, and then blah, 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 it goes on from there. That's just a great line. I like this song. I think it's another sad song, but it's sad. I like it. I would also recommend this. I think this is a cool song. What do you think?
Yeah, it's good. I don't know if I'd recommend it, but it's an okay song, especially in comparison with some of the other stuff that's on there.
For sure. Ooh.
I think this song had some a backing guitar that I didn't care for. It was kind of really whiny. I think that's that song.
Well, I'll go back and listen to it. report back next week if that guitar is whiny. Ooh, You. Instrumental again, right? Or is this a vocal? Jeez. It's not so memorable, I can't even remember.
It's mostly an instrumental. He's got some phrases that he says over the top of it, but I don't know if I'd call those lyrics or ad-libs.
It's a rocker, though.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like the, you know what? I like to turn this one up. I don't know why. It's kind of got a, you know, crank it up vibe to it. And at the end, Paul throws out his Beatle voice again, which is cool. But it's not very memorable, though. I mean, when I hear it on the album, I like it, but it doesn't stick with you. I mean, that's the problem with a lot of these songs. They don't stick with you, and you, like you said earlier, you have a hard time remembering which one goes with which.
This is on the special edition twice because it's got the alternate title of Don't Cry Baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is pretty forgettable, but as far as the instrumental goes, it's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
It's pretty listenable. It's not very memorable, but it's pretty listenable.
Yeah, that, like I said, that's the problem with this whole album. They just don't stick with you enough to remember. A lot, except the good songs, that obviously the good ones stick with you, but it's hard to distinguish. Mama, Miss America.
Yeah.
4 minutes and 4 seconds. Another instrumental, got a cool bass there. Piano's rocking. Guitar is cool toward the end. Only other note I wrote down was that we already mentioned that McCartney plays all the instruments on this album, so that I thought that was kind of cool for this song. But again, this doesn't stick with me at all.
Yeah, this is actually two instrumentals. The first one is what's the name of it? I've forgotten the name. Oh, Rock and Roll Springtime, because that's when he's at the very beginning. He says Rock and Roll Springtime, take one.
Yeah.
And about halfway through, exactly 1 minute and 57 seconds in, it switches to another instrumental, which I would think would be the Mama Miss America part.
And what did you think of it?
It's okay. This is another one that I find forgettable. I think it's less than Ooh You and what's the other one? Hot as Sun. Hot as Sun and Ooh You aren't that bad, but I thought Mama Miss America was pretty forgettable. I mean, even while I was listening to it, it's like, yeah, there's not much to this. It's just guitar and him slapping on stuff. They don't even sound like drums. It's like cardboard boxes.
Yeah, I agree. Teddy Bear? Oh, Teddy Boy, I'm sorry. this is a good song. It's a little ditty again. It's cool acoustic. And this is obviously supposed to be a Beatles song, too, because it appears on one of the anthology releases.
Yeah, Anthology 3, when John Lennon makes fun of it.
She said, Teddy, don't worry now, Mommy is here, taking good care of you. Teddy, don't worry now, your mommy is here, Mommy's gonna see you.
Yeah, he probably didn't like this song, but I like it.
I'm with John on this one. I do not like this song.
Really?
I like the melody, but when I first heard that Paul McCartney did a song called Teddy Boy, I really had my hopes up, because Teddy Boy is the name that they gave to the greasers. When John and Paul were dressing in leather and greasing up their hair, they were dressing like Teddy Boys. So I'm thinking, this has to be a rocker. Paul's going to be writing a song about his early days. You know, it's going to be like I was expecting like a 3 minute Quadrophenia or something.
That's a good. I like that.
And then when I put it on, it's like, not only is this not a rebel song, it's a song about a kid who's devoted to his mom. You can't get farther away than what I was expecting. So I was really really disappointed with this. But I'm reviewing my expectation as opposed to reviewing the song. But I just can't separate the two because I was so disappointed.
It's too cute for you, isn't it?
Yeah. I can really see why John would hate this song, because it really is too cute. Why would you write a song about a kid who's devoted to his mom on a supposed rock album? I mean, if you're writing a children's album, then fine, but melodically it's okay.
But yeah, I still like it though. But you're right. It is cute. It maybe is too cute. But I like the beginning, you know, the guitar. I like the guitar, like you're saying. Yeah, there is a good melody to it. I don't think it's forgettable though. Maybe you're going to remember it now cuz you hate it so much. So that, I guess, that says something. At least you'll remember something off this album. Sing Along Junk. I think we pretty much covered that. What do you got? What other comments you got about it?
No, it's good. I really like it. It's a beautiful melody. It's probably one of Paul's best melodies.
I think you might be right. Yeah. This, like I said before, it's just a beautiful song, but it's so sad, and I like it a lot. It's cool. Thumbs up on Sing Along Junk. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm Amazed. Well, I mean, what can we say about this, really? Why don't you tell me what you think between the live version from Wings Over America, which was actually released as a single, and this original version, which never was released as a single?
No, I think I'd go with the live version. This one seems kind of restrained, I think. I don't really remember this version that much. But yeah, it's like Paul didn't realize how good this song was.
Right.
But then when he got around to recording Wings Over America, then he could really sell it. And of course, the audience response would helped a lot.
Yeah. Is that a pipe organ at the beginning? What is that?
I don't know. Let me...
I like that. Right there.
Oh, yeah. I doubt it. It would be a pipe organ because they weren't that elaborate. It's probably just some electric keyboard organ.
Doesn't it sound cool, though?
Yeah, it does. I don't even think I noticed it.
This...
Like a Fender Rhodes...
Would this fit in? What do you think? I mean, this song could have been a Beatles song. I mean, it's, you know, wouldn't this have been a cool Beatles song? I mean, this could fit in with the Let It Be album, you know, in a sense.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just a fantastic song. I like this version better than Wings Over America myself, but...
Oh, really?
That's just me. His voice just sounds phenomenal. The guitar in the middle is awesome. You know, the guitar solo, and, you know, he's playing drums on this as well, and I like the fade-out. You know, when he plays it live now, he had to write an ending to it, so I like the fade-out, that it just kind of fades away. You know, I like that. Yeah. This is a classic. I mean, it's just fantastic. Obviously, this is about Linda again, but, you know, the man's in love. I'm gonna let him slide. It's cool. It's a fantastic song.
Yeah.
One of his best, and I think everybody agrees with that.
Definitely this is the standout from this album. It's definitely the biggest song off this album.
Crinacore.
This is a tribe in Africa, Crinacore, and Paul was watching a documentary called The Tribe That Hides from Man, and you can actually find that documentary on YouTube. And so I was watching the beginning of it just to find out how to pronounce Crinacore, and I found out, and it's pronounced Crinacore.
What'd you think of this song?
I don't know. Goes on too long.
Yeah, maybe it does. The drums are cool, though.
Yeah, but you can just tell that Paul's just experimenting with drum noises. What can I tap on in this room that would sound like a drum?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. There's sound effects, right? Is there sound effects in there?
How do you mean?
I don't know. Isn't there something weird going on? I don't know what it was. It just sounds weird. I'd have to hear it again. I like the you know, when he does that, the drums come back. It's a strange song.
Yeah.
The drum solo is quite interesting, and then he comes back again after that with more guitar, and then it's over.
It's very experimental.
Yeah.
Speaking of sound effects, did you catch the noise in Lovely Linda, to go way back to the beginning of the song? There's like a squeak. I thought it was like a bird call.
Okay.
But it's actually Linda opening the door while Paul's recording.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. But he liked the take. He didn't want to re-record it, so he just left it in. So the little squeak that you hear at the beginning of Lovely Linda is actually her walking into the room.
So, on a whole, what do you think was the motivation behind this? Because like we've said, it's all demos, basically. I mean, what do you think, just to get into his mind a little bit, what do you think he was thinking when he decided to put this out as an album?
I don't know what he was thinking when he decided to put it out. I know what he was thinking when he recorded it, because he pretty much stated that he was just messing around with his home studio. He had some equipment installed, and he just started recording. And this is equipment, according to the Man on the Run book, this is equipment in his London flat, not his Scottish farm.
Okay.
So when I first heard about this album, and then he recorded it at home, I'm thinking, oh, great, they're going to be like sheep baying in the background. And
yeah.
But no, he recorded it in his music room in his house. And I don't think it's a flat. He probably had a house. Is it Cavendish? Is that where they said he lived?
I think so, yes. I think that's right. From the Man on the Run book. Yeah, you're right. It is.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting because I'd always thought that he recorded this in his Scottish farm because that's where the photos were taken. So I assume that the photos were taken around the same time as the album was recorded, but no, they're completely separate.
Well, this was affectionately known in my household as the Ball of Cherries album.
Yeah.
Ball of Cherries album. So.
Yeah. There's also a clue. There's a clue on the cover that Paul is dead because life is a bowl of cherries, but the bowl is empty.
Oh.
The bowl on the cover is empty.
Well, are we getting back into that again? Because I guess...
You can't get away.
Since we're getting back into the Paul is Dead thing again, by reading this Man on the Run album, we find that McCartney was just disgusted with all of that. It just drove him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought that was kind of cool from the book, reading the book. And basically, which is why he allowed Life magazine to come on the farm to basically say he's alive.
Yeah, they tried to hijack him. And he got pissed off and threw a pot of water at them. And I thought when I first heard that he emptied a pot of water at them, but according to the Man on the Run book, no, he threw a pot of water at them.
Yeah.
Pot and all.
He has quite a temper, doesn't he?
I guess.
But
then he instantly tracked him down and apologized and said, if you won't release the photos of me having my temper tantrum. Then I'll give you an interview.
Which is what he did. So let's wrap it up here on the album portion. This has got some great songs, but on a whole, it sounds very unfinished, and I guess that was his intention. I'm just, 40 years later, I'm just shocked, or more than 40 years now, I'm just shocked that he would want this to be his first foray into solo work. Because
he was so determined to get it out there too. I mean, going against the wishes of the Beatles.
Exactly, because they told him they wanted him to wait and let It Be come out first, and he told them where to go.
Mm.
And he released it anyway.
So there's really nothing that compelling on this album that
had to get out there.
Yeah.
Except maybe I'm Amazed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that really is the song off the album. But like we said, I mean Junk, Every Night, those are great too.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, it's very mind-boggling that this is the first McCartney album. So, this is the first time you heard it in its entirety?
Yes.
And you were obviously disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew going in that I already knew that it was home demo stuff. But like we've been saying, I'm just kind of surprised that it would be nice if he'd hinted at it in the title or something, like Notes from My Music Room or something, instead of just calling it McCartney. Here I am, people. I'm breaking away from the Beatles.
Yeah, that's,
and here's the reason why.
Yeah, that's another mind-boggling thing too. I'm breaking up the Beatles, and this is the album I'm breaking up with them.
Yep.
With.
And it's like, this?
It would be that Ram should have been the album that he should have broke up the Beatles for.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because Ram is a really good album. So, in 1980, he releases McCartney 2, which I heard a little bit of the other day. We're going to get into it down the road. But that also is another weird-sounding album.
Yeah, one. I guess he broke up from Wings and went solo from his solo project. so that's why they called it McCartney 2, because it was the same thing where he's just noodling on stuff in the privacy of his home.
Yeah. But we'll get in that down the road.
Yeah.
So I guess let's just wrap up. Thumbs up on, what are we saying? Thumbs up on this or?
Well, I don't know. I hate to say thumbs down. I should say thumbs down, since that's my only option, thumb up or thumb down. But I don't know. It's my friend has a three-song rule that he won't touch an album unless it's got three good songs on it. And I think this one barely squeaks by.
Yeah, I guess if you're going with that rule, yeah, it does. live up to that, but you're right, it kind of squeaks by with it.
Yeah, so we got Every Night, Junk, and Maybe I'm Amazed.
Yeah.
And then you can throw in That Would Be Something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I it's almost from a novelty point you need to listen to it, you know, and I hate that, I don't even like that to say that, but it's almost like, yeah, it's almost like a novelty. You have to listen to it just to see what, you know, words are escaping me, but just to kind of see where he was coming from at the time. I mean, he was, like you said, noodling around, and he throws this out there, and it actually was a big hit in America. This album sold very well in the States, surprisingly.
Yeah, probably just on the strength of the title. But
I think so, yeah.
I was just looking over Carina Crowley again, and there are sound effects at the end.
Yeah, that's a strange song.
It's they shot a bow and arrow in the recording studio.
Yes, that's right. I read that in the book.
Yeah, and this is the song. I don't even remember hearing it. They made a big deal about it, miking the entire path of the arrow from the bow to the target. And they also tried to build a fire in the studio for the sound effect, but they didn't use that recording. But they did wind up using the sound of breaking twigs.
That's interesting. Yeah, this is a bizarre album. this bizarre. But I don't want to give it a thumbs down either. I can't do that.
Yeah, I guess we have to give it a thumbs up. Thumbs up with an asterisk.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the best way to put it. All right, so next week we're on to Ram. Have you heard Ram in its entirety?
No, I haven't.
All right, well, you're in for a treat. It's good. Yeah, we'll do Ram next week. We're marching ahead in McCartney's discography already. And Wings albums are right around the corner. Anything else? One thing I've got, I guess, hope for the future that the new single, my dad's telling me it's only available on a 7-inch vinyl. It's not available as you can't buy a CD of it. Is that true?
Yeah, it looks like it. MP3 or 12-inch vinyl.
That in itself is interesting, isn't it? Only releasing it on vinyl. That's crazy.
Yeah, besides, that's strange.
Besides digital download. That's interesting. Well, he likes the song a lot. And I actually had one of my friends. They played it on CSX, I guess, on their early morning show on the weekend. And he heard it for the first time on the radio. He loved it, too. So, you know, people that are listening to it are liking it. And it's growing on me. It's growing on me. I'm liking it, too, more than I initially did.
It's weird how this one song is getting all this press, and McCartney put out a full album not that long ago that barely made a splash.
Yeah, New, but he had some cool videos for New. We'll get to New in another 10 years.
Exactly, a long time from now. The only stuff I saw about New was from the Paul McCartney newsletters that I get. I didn't see anything about it anywhere else.
Well, it opened in the top 10 on Billboard, so it has sold well. It's a good album. I'm going to recommend New. Go out and listen to New. It needs more. Someone needs to listen to it. It's a good album. There's a lot of good stuff on New. That's my recommendation for the weekend, McCartney. Go out and listen to New. I guess we'll do our customary, tell everybody where to find us, and we'll wrap up the show.
You can find our blog at thelongandwhinyshow.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/longandwhiny. And on Twitter at twitter.com/longandwhiny. And if you want to email us, send it to podcast@thelongandwhinyshow.com.
All right. Another show comes to an end. Join us next week when we dissect the Ram album, which has a lot of supposed digs at John and Yoko. So we'll talk about that a little bit too. See you guys next week.